T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Like the Packers were listening to Eli, you and I, our conversation on Friday about we got to come out and run the ball. I think our conversation was bugged, you know, kind of like the Patriots used to do back in the day.
Did y'all
get in?
Hey, you know, I remember we played the Patriots in that second Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and they practiced at your facility all week. Were you a little nervous going back in your facility the next year that they didn't have, like, cameras in your quarterback room?
Every time I played against New England, I used to go and talk to my receivers, like, in the shower in the far corner. I'm like, don't talk about a play next to my locker because I know it's bugged. I know it's got a hot mic in there. We're in the shower. Very strange to see 7 guys hanging out back there in the shower, but take all precautions.
You know the best part about that little exchange, the thing that I loved about it, is Tom Brady had to be furious about it. Right?
You think?
Furious.
He's getting a little angry about how they're making fun of the Patriots.
You, no matter what Brady does, you can throw that at him.
Yeah.
The cheating. No matter what.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah. No, I know you've got the most Super Bowls. I mean, you guys cheated and stuff, but.
Good.
Even if it's, you know, if it's not true, he'd be even more mad about it. But
that, or he'd be like, oh, shucks, gosh darn, guys. You
His
know,
genuineness would shine through.
It's got to burn him so bad.
So you missed the Gronk, you said? I saw
Gronk.
The whole thing about the Marvin Harrison record and Gronkowski and Brady and everything?
I was thinking about Gronk when he's on the Manning cast. He says a couple things. One, that he doesn't watch film, that he just shows up and, you know, asks Tom what to do.
Yeah.
Then you combine that with other stories, like when he sent tape to the Bucks about his workouts.
The fake workouts?
He worked out on the same day in 2 different outfits.
Yeah.
And then there's the story that if he fell asleep in the meeting with the Patriots pre-draft.
Oh, that's right.
Gronk is the ultimate results matter guy. Ultimate.
Yeah. I'll show up. I'll do my job.
Listen, who cares? I'm going to just score a bunch of touchdowns. I'm the best at this. None of it matters.
I don't watch film. I just run by guys.
Isn't?
Do you practice on Fridays for Red Zone? Nah.
I don't need to. Right? Like, he is results matter. Good for him.
He's always entertaining. Who
were their other guests?
That's what I was going to ask you. I went to bed at halftime, so I don't know who else was on last night.
Brett Favre,
did you stay
was
up?
On.
Oh, Favre was on.
I stayed up until 3 minutes into the third quarter, like 3 minutes left in the third quarter, and then I went to bed.
Just to hear Favre?
Who else did they say they were going to talk to? Brett Favre. I heard who else they were talking to. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Well, my power went out, so I couldn't see it. I was very, very disappointed.
So do they have someone? Is their concept basically they get the first quarter, those two guys, and then they work in a guest in the second and a guest in the third and then somebody else in the fourth? Are they doing like
I'm not sure if there's much of a format.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe they were
just show up and do it. They were breaking down film, doing a lot of cool stuff, and, you know, making fun of each other. Peyton said that their father said lay off of Peyton's forehead for the first couple of weeks. You know, no forehead jokes.
Did Eli say something? I saw a line about how it's not really, it's so big, it's not a forehead, it's a 5-head.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. It's good stuff. Always pick on your brother. That makes for very good good television.
Yeah. It was enjoyable.
Yeah. It's a good idea. I got to get the, I got to see how often they're doing it. I got to make sure I check the schedule as to when they're on again next.
I put up a Twitter poll about the Bills, the Chiefs, the Ravens, about football that I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the results. We're about 1,000 votes in. And what the results might have been 6 months ago or a year ago. The question is, this goes back to the Sunday night game, do you think the Bills would have gone for it in Baltimore's spot? The Ravens playing the Chiefs at home, up by one, fourth and one, their own 43. There's 1:05 left. Kansas City has no timeouts. So that's the scenario. Fourth and one, your own 43. I want to call it fourth and a long one. It wasn't inches. It was definitely fourth and a healthy one.
Okay.
Your own 43, 1:05 to play, a one-point lead. At home, do the Bills go for that, or do they kick it away? And I put up a Twitter poll. What do you think they would have done? Two-thirds of the voters so far think the Bills would have punted.
There wasn't an I don't know option, I assume, right?
No, there's not.
I would then have voted with they would have gone for it.
You think they would go for it?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you with 100% certainty, but I think at that point, if you're McDermott, you don't give the ball back to Kansas City. I don't care about timeouts and all that stuff. You don't give it back to Kansas City. And I know it's a long one, not a short one. I think at that point, you try and get the first down. You try and keep the ball and don't put it in Mahomes' hands. And it's not about trusting your defense and all this other stuff and a defensive-minded head coach and, hey, the defense looks better this year. It's quite simply, it really doesn't matter. You just don't want to give the ball to Mahomes. If there is one quarterback, I don't know, it used to be Brady, right? Hey, we scored late. Oh, we left too much time on the clock for Brady. If there's one quarterback you never give the ball to at the end of the game, it's Patrick Mahomes. If you don't get it, so be it.
If you don't get it, they're in field goal range,
of course,
in 5 yards.
Right.
If you punt it away, what's a good punt there? Can he pin them at the 10?
Okay, so he goes 90 yards for a touchdown.
He doesn't have to go. He only needs
a field goal. Right.
He only needs a field goal.
Great.
So he's
they can hit one play to Tyreek Hill and be in field goal range.
That's another thing, by the way, speaking of that game. They held Tyreek Hill in check.
Yeah, that's good.
Baltimore scores 36, shuts down Tyreek Hill, still needs like that play at the end. Anyway, I don't know if they would. I don't know. What did I vote for in this poll?
I think he would go for it. I really do. I know there's the discussion now of are they reverting a little bit? Are they getting a little bit too conservative? The first half against Pittsburgh, the game against Kansas City. You know, Jeremy and I were having this discussion in the break. Their defense looks improved. Is McDermott going to coach differently because they feel now they've got a better defense? Do they back off a little bit on offense? I hope they don't. But I think this discussion is all about one thing and one thing only. Who's the other quarterback? It's Mahomes. You just don't screw around with that.
I don't care really who it is.
I think they would take that into account.
Yeah, I mean,
think the
if
Bills
it's,
would absolutely take it into account who the quarterback is.
It's different if the team there needs a touchdown. If it's the Chiefs.
If it's Zach Wilson and they're down
seven.
If
it's Zach Wilson, I would go for it because I think any quarterback can get into field goal range in a minute.
I don't think
any quarterback can go for a touchdown in a minute. If you're playing Taylor Heinicke and he's at the 10, he only needs to get to the other 30. Mm-hmm. That's not that hard to do. Teams move like that all the time.
I think he punts based on the quarterback.
Yeah, and that's scary, but I get it. It will be treated as different based on who the caliber of your opponent is. A year ago, I might have voted without a doubt. They go for that. They're going to kill the game. You got Josh Allen. He's huge.
Yeah.
Fall forward, get your yard, and get out of town. But the way that they've played fourth downs in their last three games, I mean, Miami doesn't really count here, they have gotten conservative. They have taken points when they could go for touchdowns. They've taken threes against the Chiefs. So they have all of a sudden, this team that was very aggressive for 2 years, basically, really aggressive for 2 years, has pulled back a little bit. And it doesn't mean that they're one of the most conservative. I don't think we're watching Doug Marrone out there. But they've pulled back a little bit. And I find it interesting. It's why I put the Twitter poll up, Howard. I just wanted to know, what does everybody think out there? And right now, the temperature is that their fans think they're a little more conservative than they used to
be. But your Twitter poll was specifically Kansas City, right? It wasn't
in that spot.
Right. So if they're in that spot with anybody, I think your results are different.
So you think that
fans are worried about
that they'll be conservative against the Chiefs?
Yes, because they saw it.
Yeah,
really, they saw it. They saw it in two games, kind of. I mean, you saw it for sure offensively in the AFC Championship game, and I think you might have been dismayed by the game plan in the regular season game here too. So I think there was an element of they were worried so much about Mahomes in both of those matchups that it affected how they put together the game plan, and I think it affected their in-game coaching. I mean, after the AFC Championship game, right, didn't McDermott say something about we really had to get points there? When did this offense operate at a, you know, we really needed to get three there. Yeah. It makes a big difference. No, I mean, that, you know, among the things they did differently last year, you brought up the second to last drive in Miami before the muffed punt. And they looked like they were just trying to get it to halftime. We haven't had a great first half offensively, but hey, we've got a couple touchdown lead. We're going to get the ball to start the third quarter. Let's just get it to halftime. As it turns out, Miami muffs the punt and they get the ball back and have a shot at a field goal. But they did not look like they were aggressively going for more points before halftime prior to that punt. Now, that's something they did last year, right? Yep. They were all about, hey, we're getting the ball to start the third, but let's double dip. Let's attack here. Let's try and get seven here. And then we get the ball back to start the third quarter. If we get another touchdown drive, fabulous. We've now bookended touchdown drives around the halftime break. So that changed a little bit against Miami on Sunday. So I think because it's Mahomes, I would tell you that, yes, I would say depending on the quarterback with Mahomes at the top of the list, they would go for that at their own 40. Other quarterbacks, I could absolutely see him do the whole, let's punt, we'll pin him deep, and my defense isn't going to give up a field goal drive to Jacoby Brissett, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, I don't know, name some of the, Davis Mills. I think there are a slew of quarterbacks where he would actually have them punt it and figure his defense will snuff this game out. Yeah. Just close the game for them. Against Mahomes, you shouldn't take any chances.
No, you definitely shouldn't. And, you know, thinking about, you're talking about their game plan against the Chiefs. Now that they have this pass rush that we've seen look pretty good, if they think their pass rush is a lot better, one of the things they should be doing, I think they should be doing in games, is double dipping. How do you get a shutout against Miami? You put them into obvious passing situations for the entire second half.
Right.
And just, you know, unleash fury from a pass rush standpoint. Cycle in guys, Rousseau, Epinesa, over and over. So you've got fresh guys and you know on every play, well, I mean, they're not going to run it.
Yeah.
They don't have time.
I think one of the Bills' offensive players made the point of maybe it was the, I don't know if it was the second touchdown to make it 14-0. If not, for sure it would have been the third one. And the guys on offense were saying, well, we knew that if we get this touchdown, Miami's got to just start chuck. Basically, they got to start throwing the ball. And our guys are just going to, you know, the whole pin your ears back and go after them because Miami's got to say, forget running game, just drop back and throw it. We're down too many points. And that is, and sure, that plays into the hands of what, you know, what we believe is an improved pass rush for the Buffalo Bills. I do think, that's why I said, I think it depends. Like Tannehill, for example, if you give me the same scenario you just put in your Twitter poll for Kansas City, and you give me the same scenario for Tennessee, I would hope they go for it.
Yeah.
You know, don't give the ball back to Tannehill and his receivers and Derrick Henry. You know, Seattle blew a fourth quarter lead against those guys. If you have a chance to put the game away, go for the 1 yard. If it's Trevor Lawrence or any, you know, like I said, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson, Davis Mills, some of these other quarterbacks they're going to face this season, Sam Darnold. I'm sorry, I know Carolina's 2-0, but I'm still not a believer in Darnold. There are a number of quarterbacks where I honestly believe he would punt the ball going, they're not going to move the ball downfield against my defense. Kansas City? No. Tennessee? No. Keep it. I mean, pick the better offenses they're going to face this year. Go for the first down against some of the lesser quarterbacks. I really believe he would punt it.
It's another one of those things, you know, as we talk about the season, you know, each game we find out a little more about them. Finding out if the pass rush really is improved in getting to Mahomes, we don't know about that until they play Mahomes. That's the same thing about fourth downs. We're not going to know if they are bold against Mahomes or conservative against Mahomes until we see them play against him.
Yeah.
Because everything you're laying out right here means when they play Taylor Heinicke, if they punt in the exact same spot, it's because it's Taylor Heinicke.
Right.
So if they're doing the old, it depends on the opponent, which, you know, a lot of things depend on the opponent, then, all right, I can't take away too much from a win over Davis Mills or how your defense, you trusted your defense at the end of the half, how you decided to kneel it out. You know, if you're up 10-3 with a minute left in the second half against the Chiefs somehow, are you gunning for those points? Or whatever, just up 7.
Yeah, no, I'm just envisioning that.
If you're
that,
up 7, right, yeah. Are you kneeling it out against the Chiefs or are you kneeling it out against Davis Mills? You know, do you treat those situations differently because you think, listen, this guy's going to get his points. Yeah. When they play the Chiefs, it's almost like you would go into the game offensively thinking, we have to get 35 today.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, the other day, you knew you didn't have to get 35.
Right.
I mean, Tua goes, again, I don't think it would have been different with Tua. You might have thought at 14-0, Brissett and that offense are not scoring more than 14 points today. By 21, you knew it was done. I mean, there was no way Miami, which had done nothing in the first half, when they made it 21-0, there's no way they're scoring. And we had a number of games last year, right? We used to talk about that. A handful of games last year where we'd look at it and go, the other teams, you get to this number, they're not, the other team's not scoring that many points. It's a short list with Kansas City at the top of no lead is safe. No point total is safe. And that's why I think your Twitter poll is the answer, the correct answer is you go for it there, but perhaps fans are a little concerned because of the first half against Pittsburgh, of the AFC Championship. And again, maybe they feel the defense is now improved enough that they become a little bit more conservative on those fourth down decisions. So I hope I'm wrong, but I would like to believe that because of the opponent, that's a scenario where they would still say, we need to attack here. Let's not sit back. Let's attack and keep going.
Alec tweets in, McDermott would have 100,000% punted. I can't remember the last time we went for it on our side of the 50. We've lost the aggressive nature that made us so great the last 2 years, and it drives me crazy. It's killed Josh and our offense's confidence and swag. Yeah. The other thing is, in the second half of the season, I'll go back to the game logs. They also destroyed everybody.
Yeah, there were a lot of blowouts.
A lot of blowouts. So right. Maybe in those spots it wasn't. You know, what you're talking about in the Baltimore game with the 4th-and-1 for the Ravens there is it's about as high a leverage a situation as you can get. If we don't get this, they'll probably win. Mm-hmm. And if we do get this, we
game
will
over.
Win.
Right.
And that's why it's talked about as gutsy or gutty for John Harbaugh. You could say, well, I mean, all the math said he should have gone for it. It's not exactly gutsy to do the thing that's mathematically right. No, but it is bold to make the decision on the most the biggest swing. That's probably the biggest swing you'll see all season in a single game for the Ravens.
Oh,
this one play
determining the outcome. Yeah.
This
yeah.
one play. If we get it, we win. If we don't, we might lose. Probably lose. I mean, they're going to get the ball to 43. They go 8 yards.
You're probably toast, right?
They're in range.
Unless they miss a crazy chip shot field goal.
And, you know, Mahomes would have had a full minute to get down to like the 10 if they needed to, they don't score a touchdown anyway.
It's so I think last season, by the way, Todd tweeted and they would run out there, do a hard count, and try and draw them off sides.
Which would be worse than anything.
Yeah, and then punt.
I mean, honestly, that...
See, I thought those days were gone.
I did,
you know,
too.
With the Bills. I really did. That was a first-year McDermott thing, and I feel like that should not be in the playbook anymore.
That play, you know, the best play that's ever been run is E.J. Manuel doing that, and we all kind of mock that.
Was that the Eagles?
I think so.
They did it against the Eagles. They got the Eagles to jump when Andy Reid was there, right?
It's really tough when you do the fake hard count.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, I guess, but it's just...
See, that's
nothing, like, for a football fan and casual observer, I think nothing says wimpy more than that.
Draw them offside, right. And then either take the delay or you burn a timeout with 1 second left and then you punt the ball.
Yeah.
See, that's why last season, and this is why, look, when they decided to punt against Pittsburgh, you were at the game, right? At home, it sounded like there was a smattering of boos. Like, I thought I was hearing some boos, and I understandably so, when they decided not to go for it on fourth down against the Steelers. We got to a point last year. The Bills were going for it on fourth down. It got to this point. When they would decide to go for it on fourth down, and the network broadcasters would be, hey, they're keeping the offense on the field. At home, you'd be like, yeah, of course they're keeping the offense on the field.
Yep.
The Bills, you'd be surprised if they told you the punt team was coming out. When the announcers are going, oh, gutsy call, they're going for it. And go, no, this is Bills football. We go for it now on fourth down. Like, you expected the offense to stay on the field. Now, I think, and this goes to your Twitter poll results, now maybe we're getting back to waiting to see on TV, does Josh stay on the field? Or do we start seeing the offense trot off and the punt team goes on? Last year, we knew the offense wasn't going anywhere. Of course they're going to go for it. You got Josh Allen, it's 1 yard. Line them up under center and let's go. Or Reggie Gilliam or whatever you want to do this year. You knew they were going to go for it. And now it's a little bit of, I wonder what they're doing. What's the score? How much time is left? Who's the opposing quarterback? There's no blanket. We know they're going to go for it. Now it's back to all these different factors you take into account when you decide whether or not they're going to go for it, which is not a good place to live. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's Paul Hamilton.
All right, I'm going to be chatting with Paul in a moment, and his segment will be brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. You can join us, too, in our discussions on the fourth down Twitter poll that Jeremy has on the top story for you for the Bills through the first two games. We've been talking a lot about the passing offense. The defense obviously looks very good. The running game's better. You can share your thoughts on that, too, at 803-0550. Something else you want to get to, that's fine as well. We can chat about whatever's on your mind. We'll do a little football in a moment. We'll do a little hockey, too, because the prospect games were this past weekend. Paul was involved in those with Brayton and Brian Koziel. And tomorrow, Sabres players will be reporting for their physicals. It is expected that, according to Associated Press, Jack Eichel will be in town for his physical. I would assume it's expected Jack will fail his physical.
Well, I mean, I hope Paul can handle the distractions and all the people walking around so distracted by what? We can't focus on anything. I'm so distracted. I know. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
All right.
Paul?
Yes, sir.
Stay focused tomorrow.
How are you going to handle the distractions? No, I'm kidding. But camp tomorrow, I feel like it snuck up on everybody.
Yeah, physicals tomorrow, and then first on-ice session on Thursday.
So. Hey, I wanted to ask you, obviously we have some stuff I want to get to with hockey. Give us your 2 cents worth on what you've seen from the Bills offense, specifically the discussion about Josh Allen and the passing game through the first two games.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like they got 35 points. And they win 35-0, but still, they left some plays on the field. I mean, especially early in that game, he was still a little bit high on some passes, overthrew some open guys, and you know, he did make some plays as things got better. And he even said that they kind of went back to some of the things that they used to do as the game went on, and he felt a little bit more comfortable. As that game went on. So, I feel like I'm getting nitpicky here because he had a 35-0 win. And here I'm sitting there talking about, well, he's a little high on some of his passes still. But, you know, he picked up some key first downs using his legs in the running game. And, you know, he was, you know, as I said, he did get better as the game went on.
You know what, Paul? It comes with the bar being raised, right? I mean, we forget what it's like with the hockey team, but it comes with the bar being raised, and the expectations are different now. And I was telling Jeremy, you know, maybe you can relate to this too, right? It reminds me a little bit of 30 years ago. If Kelly and that offense had a couple of bad games, we'd be wondering what the hell, you know, in the locker room, we'd all be going, hey, what's wrong with the offense? And we'd be talking about simplifying the playbook, and maybe they're going too fast, and all that stuff would happen, and here we are talking about what was a very good offense at the time. So when the bar goes up higher and higher, the expectations are that you're going to perform at that high level.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what happened in the first drive? I mean, it didn't seem to be going well. Next thing you know, Singletary breaks one off, and he's in the end zone. You know, and so it was the running game that got it going early on for them. And I thought it was interesting, too. I mean, Singletary, it just seems like he's different from the standpoint of, I think every time, in the past, I would have thought to myself, he's going to get caught from behind. He's not going to make it to the end zone. And this time he had just enough oomph to make it to the end zone. It just seems like he's a little quicker. He's a little faster, just a little bit better at everything that he does right now.
Paul with us here. We've been talking Bills football. We'll take your calls, too, of course, at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. Before we get to Eichel and tomorrow, who stood out to you? You guys had the prospect games from over the weekend. We have coverage, of course, from you and Brayton at WGR550.com. Anybody catch your eye in particular?
Well, yeah, quite a few guys. Of course, Luukkonen, I mean, that's the obvious one, a 22-save shutout. And it wasn't like, boy, he didn't have much to do. I mean, he had to make some great saves in that game. There were a couple of times that the guys were left open and coming down the slot, and he had to make some big saves. And it just seemed like he was very, very confident in what he was doing and the speed of what he was doing. As he said when I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, he's a big man and he had to practice his movements and those types of things to make sure that, you know, he's moving with the quickness of the game, of the NHL game. And that's the one thing he learned in the four games he played last year, that, you know, he had to keep up with. So being a big man, sometimes, you know, it's, you're not as quick in what you're doing because you got more of a body to get around. So and you saw the strength of his legs. There were a couple of times where he goes down in the splits and made the pad save, and they're hacking at his pad and trying to get the puck in, and he was very, very strong that way. They didn't move his leg even an inch, you know, when they're trying to push his leg and push the puck into the net. And I noticed that more than once, probably three or four times, where, you know, he had a lot of strength in his legs, holding the puck out and that type of thing. So, you know, his angles were good. His confidence was good. He was out challenging, and it was really, a good outing for him to do that. Laaksonen on defense, I'll just stay on the defensive part of it. There were a lot of things to like with what I saw with him, the way he led the power play in the top of the point. And he led Rochester's power play. And when he's on the breakout, there's always a good pass. It's crisp. They get it out quickly. The one bad habit that he has is he doesn't get off the ice. There were numerous times he got caught on the ice. There, he had to have had a couple of two-minute shifts out there, where he wanted to get himself caught and he couldn't get off, and really overstayed his shifts and really put some stress onto the goaltenders because of it. So if there was one thing I didn't like about his game, is he had opportunities at times. You got to take that opportunity to get off the ice, especially in the second period when you have the long change, and he didn't. And he just kept getting himself in trouble by doing that. So, but overall, I enjoyed watching him play. Paterka, boy, what a shot he has. I mean, he scored two of their five goals, and the second one, he just got away in a big hurry when Ristolainen took a shot, and it hit a leg, went right to Paterka, and boy, that puck was gone in milliseconds, and with some mustard on it. And the thing, he does everything quick. You know, whether it's get to the battle, and he enjoys getting to the battle. I mean, mm-hmm. he's no shrinking violet. He gets to the battle and he competes on the wall, and very often he can get himself to the puck first. I mean, he's one of the guys that's pretty good at trying to retrieve pucks. You know, all right, we've lost the puck, but he's the first one in there to try to retrieve the puck and go the other way. His bad habit is, and I'm sure he can get away with this in Germany, and even though he played pro against men, he enjoys trying to go one-on-two, one-on-three, carrying the puck, and it got him in trouble a few times. He wound up turning it over and giving up some odd man rushes the other way, so he's got to stop forcing it. You know, this is the NHL, and, you know, yeah, it was against prospects, but still, you're probably not going to be able to go end to end and try to go through three guys that they're closing in on you. But overall, I mean, I thought he had a really good showing in what he did. And Jack Quinn, in the one game that he played, I thought dominated at center. I thought that's what he should do, and he did. They like him over there because he generates the play. They said from the wing, he used to like to cut to the center anyway. and really move the play and generate the play up ice. And Seth Happer talked about, too, how, you know, you sit in a film session with him and listen to the things that he picks up on and listen to the questions he has. He goes, he's a very intelligent type player, and he's the type of player that if he makes a mistake, you got to tell him once and he'll never make it again. I mean, he's so – and, of course, getting back, too, he's very good at closing the gap between the forwards and the defense. And, you know, that's – so that's another reason why, you know, they thought, you know, he might turn into a good setter. So I think they should have liked what they've seen in the first outing with him as a centerman. And, you know, I would continue it on into training camp now. I would, and that was the point, the whole point of the thing anyway. I mean, all this criticism that was flying out there, it's like, well, they could have drafted a center. Why don't they just draft a center, whatever? It's like, relax, people. You don't know who from that draft, who's going to be good, who's not. I don't know. You don't know. I mean, nobody knows. So this is prospects camp. If you have an idea that, you know what, and when they drafted him, they had it in their heads, too, that he could possibly be a pretty good center. So this isn't something to spur of the moment. But isn't that the time, if you're going to try something, to do it? His prospect camp. You know, they put Ristolainen back at center. I mean, that's the time to do it. So, I mean, if you want to try some things, I mean, no better time than Prospects Challenge to be able to think, all right, let's see how this looks. And if you like it, okay, let's take it to training camp, see how it looks there. And let's play a couple of preseason games with that. So let's see if we still like the way it looks. And then if you like the way it looks, then, all right, let's let him start center in Rochester, see what happens. Let him play some games there, which he did. He did play two games before he got hurt there in Rochester, and let's watch it that way. I mean, it's a progression that you go in if you like what you see. If you don't like what you see, all right, go back to wing. I mean, it's not a big deal, but I didn't understand all this hand-wringing that, the Sabres blew another draft pick, you know, type of crap. It's like, first of all, you don't know, because let's have this conversation in 3 years, and then you can tell me if they blew a draft pick or whatever.
Paul, I've got a draft pick that they blew a few years ago. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding, but I get your point.
Paul, before we let you go, I wanted to make sure we got in the Eichel question, and I know you reposted an article you had written a couple months ago about this. There's a report he will show up for physicals tomorrow. Let's say he shows up, and assuming he fails the physical, what's the next step? What are the options?
Well, then you're looking at long-term IR probably. There's a little dispute. I've been trying to just comb through the collective bargaining agreement, which is
long
document.
Yeah, you really know how to enjoy your downtime.
Yeah, exactly. To see exactly, all right, if he's not willing to do what you want him to do, as far, and unfortunately for him, the Players Association, they negotiated away his rights. So it's up to the Sabres how, you know, they want to proceed medically. And if he doesn't want to proceed the way the Sabres want him to, then, you know, can you suspend him without pay, you know, and move on that way? And what do you get out of that? I mean, if you do that, now what? I mean, it just makes a bad situation worse if you do it that way. But you're also, if you do something like that, you're also putting pressure on him. It's, all right, now he's not getting his money. Mm-hmm. Now, he's already made a lot of money in his life, so I don't think he's on in the poor farm. If that were to, you know, happen, and he would want to stay with what he wants to do with his body and that type of thing. So it just, to me, if that happens, it makes a bad situation worse. So, you know, Darren Dreger did a podcast with Ray Ferraro, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and he was saying that Eichel went and saw more doctors, one in California, I believe, and they all agree with him that the disc replacement is probably the best way to go. And it seems like maybe, according to what Darren Dreger is saying, the Sabres might be warming up to his idea. if that's the case, I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
What took you so long? Like, why now? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, what,
you just wasted the whole off season.
Yeah, I mean, this is September. If that's the case,
I gotta go home. I can't handle this.
Yeah, if that's the case, why couldn't this happen in May?
Yeah,
why couldn't this happen in April? Or you know, right after you figure out that the first course that you wanted to take didn't work, why didn't we go this far then? Why all of a sudden does it take getting a new agent and talking to a new agent and all the other things and all of a sudden September, if that's the case, if that's really what's happening here?
Right. It's no matter what, the whole thing is a mess. Of course, the Sabres, I mean, I've been of the belief they should have let this happen a long time ago. And you want to say, like, yes, they have the rights, as we've said. I think the right thing to do is to acquiesce and just let him do it. But even that, no matter when they do it, is terrible. Because if they decide to let him do it, then they wasted an offseason. They wasted all this. He could have had it back in May. He could have worked out for other teams. You could have traded him. You could have kept his trade.
Or if you had him, he'd be on the ice.
Or you wouldn't have. Right, yeah. You still might have the disconnect. But at least you'd have a healthy player that maybe could sit with the coach. And then, the whole thing is just, it's been terrible, of course.
Yeah, if that's the case, I'm just shaking my head. I mean, it's just like, wait a minute, wow. I mean, you've had this staunch stance, which, quite honestly, I don't blame their stance if that's the way they feel. That, all right, we don't think that's the right thing to do. It's an unknown. You know the whole thing. If that's what your stance is, why all of a sudden would you change that stance in September? So you can finally trade a guy that you haven't been able to trade because he's just sitting there and not doing anything because you decided that you didn't want that type of surgery because you didn't think it was safe and it's an unknown and all that kind of stuff. And all right, fine. I mean, that's your right, but I don't understand, because I've said all along, If they don't believe in that surgery and they think that surgery is dangerous and it's an unknown, they're not going to change their mind. What's going to change their mind? Well, maybe I shouldn't have said that, because maybe they are going to change their mind. What? So you're going to change your mind just out of the idea that, all right, well, we better change our mind or we're never going to be able to trade this guy.
Right. So let him get the surgery that he wants and then we'll trade him.
Well, yeah, you could have done that months ago and probably made the trade already.
Yep. Hey, thanks for cheering us up. Always good to have you on the show. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton.
Take care, guys.
Paul Segment on our Wester Hotline was brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
You know, now represented by CAA, so that's Pat Brisson, JP Barry, and the gang at CAA Hockey, fired Peter Fish as his primary agent. There's progress being made, I'm told, between Brisson and Kevin Adams and the Buffalo Sabres. You know, Jack is seeing other specialists, I believe, on the West Coast, just reaffirming the original position that the disc replacement, which is highly unusual in the sport of hockey, more in football, right, is the right avenue for Jack Eichel to pursue. And my understanding is, if the doctors, the follow-up opinions, support that original second opinion that the disc replacement is the right path, then chances are he's going to get it done.
I'm sorry, I just find this really funny. That's in a sad way. That's Darren Drager from a podcast he does. Was it Dregs?
The Ray,
Dregs
and the Ray, Ray, and Dregs
Ray and Dregs podcast.
He does
thank
it with
you.
Ray Ferraro.
I mean, you gotta laugh, because if you weren't laughing, you'd either be A, crying, or B, cursing your mouth off right now. Like, what are they doing? Like, what? I said to Jeremy in the break, this is what happened, right? All right, we're gonna trade Eichel. Not gonna have him at. We're gonna trade him. Oh, crap! We can't work out a deal. All right, we're going to let him have the surgery, and then we'll trade Eichel. Nuts. Why else would you wait and all of a sudden, literally at the start of training camp, go, hey, you know, maybe we should let him have the surgery?
Well, I don't know how to feel.
Pretty funny.
I think it's been pretty obvious he should get the surgery that he wants from the start, and allowing him to do that is the right thing to do. So I don't want to be mad if they choose the right thing to do, but...
But they wasted, what, May, June, July, August, 4 months where the surgery could have been done, the rehab would have been done, the recovery would have been done. He could have been, you know, traded maybe in that time if the surgery was completed and maybe allayed fears of other teams. And or, hey, Jack, come in, show up at camp, show everybody you're healthy, you're skating, everything's fine, and then we'll work out a trade. I mean, you basically had, well, literally nothing happened for 4 months. Nothing moved at all for 4 months. And now it looks like, you know, you might be leaning towards having him have the surgery he wanted to have in the first place. So you just, you didn't. Whatever. I mean, I don't think he's coming back. I don't think he's playing. I still think he's going to be traded. I just don't know why you essentially did nothing for 4 months, and now it's just a waste of time. It's pretty, that's what I said. You got to laugh at this stuff, because if not, make you cry or curse. All right, we'll get a break in, and we are talking about the Bills, of course, this morning, 803-0550. What do you think is the top story about the Bills through the first two games? Is it the struggles of the passing offense? I can't be speaking for you, obviously, by the way. The defense being as dominant as it has looked, the running game's improved, or, you know, the always popular other. Grab a line, join us this morning on that. Whatever else on your mind, you got an opinion on the Eichel stuff. The Manning cast last night, we were talking about that. Maybe you got a chance to see it for the first time. That too, and I guess, are we still doing Pick the Bills? Is that still, we haven't scrapped that feature altogether? So that's coming up, and Jeremy's face will be on StreamYard, so you can watch him on Pick the Bills.
I got a new hat. It's exciting.
What is that?
It's the hat that I, it's my fall hat for the year. I got a new hat.
Oh, we have to find some time this morning.
The elite season.
8:45. You can let me know what kind of festivities you have planned, because this is the final full day of summer.
Yeah, the first festivity is teaching you that this is not summer. We're already in fall.
Yes, we've already been in the elite season.
No, the autumnal equinox
right,
is tomorrow at 3:20.
We're going to be late. We're going to get in trouble. But I have a complete explanation for how you should really get out of the stars and into the actual seasons.
Okay. 803-0550 to join us picking the Bills next, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.